Okay, well, praise God. Last week we talked about the first five of the Ten Commandments back in Exodus chapter 20. And I was thinking about continuing on this week, but I just felt led to pause on that for a moment as far as going through the detailed commands and remind us again of God's heart, His Father heart. He's the one who gave the commandments. He's the one who gave the law. He gave His word, and He gave it for our good. He's not just a God saying, okay, here's this law, here's this rule, here's these things, and go work hard and try to do all this stuff and just to see what He can make us do. Everything He does to lead us to Himself and bring us back to Him. I've got three different scripture passages I want to read through, and we're not going to dive real deep, I don't think, but just this reminder of God's heart. So the first one is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. Actually, let's back up to verse 7. 7 through 11. It says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Incredible. Right? You know, this God who is all powerful, who could squelch us out in a second. And His heart is the heart of a father. It says, if you ask a father for something good, will he give you something evil in exchange? It says even many evil fathers know how to give good gifts. How much more will our Heavenly Father give when we ask? Just remember this reality of a God who has this father heart, who desires to pour in to His children. Not to see what He can get back out of it, but simply because of that father's heart who just desires to bless His children. Do you realize that God desires to bless you? He desires you to draw near to Him, to know Him, to experience Him. He is the focus, not what He can do for us. But I just want to recognize that His heart is for us, that He really does love us and He really desires the best for us. It's not always God's idea of best is not always the same as the world's ideas of best, but He does desire the best for us. He desires abundant life. Let's turn to John chapter 10. And once again, verses 7 through 11. John chapter 10. 7 through 11. So Jesus said again, I tell you the solemn truth. I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and he will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, destroy. I've come so that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Again, here's the Father's heart. The Father's heart is to lay down his life for us. The Father's heart is that we would have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. God's not desirous just to destroy us. He's not desirous to give us, you know, a miserable life. He desires to bless us. He desires our good. We even see throughout Israel's history how God desired to bless his people. Even physically, with physical things. And yet the danger was, when they got the physical things, they started forgetting about God. And when we forget about God and get selfish and self-centered, then all the material blessing in the world is of no value. But God's heart is that we would know him and find the blessedness of knowing him. Let's turn now to Psalm 19. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11. Very interesting. I just now realized that each of these three passages, we're doing 7 through 11. I didn't... Interesting. All right, well, Psalms 19, 7 through 11. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect and preserves one's life. The rules set down by the Lord are reliable and impart wisdom to the inexperienced. The Lord's precepts are fair and make one joyful. The Lord's commands are pure and give insight for life. The commands to fear the Lord are right and endure forever. The judgments given by the Lord are trustworthy and absolutely just. They are of greater value than gold, than even a great amount of pure gold. They are even greater delight than honey, than even the sweetest honey from a honeycomb. Yes, your servant finds moral guidance there. Those who obey them receive a rich reward." Here's just this reminder, this reality. And especially as we think about the Ten Commandments and some of God's ways and such, how his desire is to draw us to his heart. His desire is that we would know how to live. Ultimately, how we would live out of the Spirit that he has placed within us. That out from among, inside us would flow rivers of living water that bring life to our own lives and those who are around us. His ways, his commands, his judgments, everything about him says it's greater value than gold, greater delight than honey. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. If our idea of God's ways and such is, oh, he's just this hard taskmaster who just wants to make us do a bunch of stuff. Maybe we need to be born again. Maybe we need to ask God afresh for his Spirit. Oh, that we would know the height, the depth, the breadth of the love that God has for each one of us. I just invite you on your own just to pause for a moment and be reminded of God's heart for you and for each one of us, his heart to bless us, not curse us, his desire to give us life eternal, not destroy us. He will do whatever is required. You know, there is that discipline side of the Lord, which goes hand in hand. You know, those who love God, you know, love his discipline. Sometimes he allows hard things, but it's to bring us back to him and to refine us. And again, as we think about the commandments as the heart of God, and let's be reminded that he just desires for us to know him and to walk with him, and that as we do, there is blessing in keeping his commands. There's blessing in knowing his heart, in walking in his ways. Again, as we started last week, the reminder from Galatians that we aren't justified by what we do in the law. It's not that we stand, you know, have right standing before God because we keep all the commands, because no one is justified. Scripture says no one is justified by keeping the law. So again, we put our confidence in this Father who laid down his life for us, the one who paid the price for us that we could not pay, who offered an invitation to come boldly before him, not because of what we have done, but because of what he did. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us, how he longs to gather us to him. Stop your striving. Stop your straining. And draw near to the living God who loves you and who paid the price for you to come to him. Let's finish with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your mercy and your invitation for us to come to you. Help us to see you more clearly. Help us to walk in your ways today. Thank you for your faithful love towards us. Oh, you are good, and all that you do is good. Your ways are right. Your law is outstanding. How wonderful it is. How sweet it is to walk in your ways. Open our eyes afresh to see you as you are. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.